In the name of our God, who called us out of the darkness and into his wonderful light, dear fellow redeemed. Epiphany is kind of a strange word. It's a Greek word, and it just means what happens when a light shines on something. That's an epiphany. And that idea of a light shining, it's all over the Bible, and it's pretty much a universal image that everybody in every culture for all time has understood, that light is good, dark is bad. And so you can trace this all through history. Take a couple of examples. A couple hundred years ago, Sir Francis Bacon, who's on the left there, he started investigating things using the scientific method so that he could research and explain and know things that he could never know before. And then when his methods took off, people like Benjamin Franklin started inventing all sorts of things. It's like a light went on in their heads, and they could suddenly do more than ever. And so we call that period the Enlightenment, the period of the Enlightenment, because they had an epiphany. But my guess is that, like, maybe, if I'm lucky, half of you care about the Enlightenment period. So here's an illustration that more touches my heart. 300 years later, after Benjamin Franklin, there was a Disney princess who sang about light. Rapunzel sang a song in the Disney movie Tangled, "At last I see the light." The lights went on for her. Not from science, but when she found her true love. And her true love, it's like a light went on in her head, and suddenly everything was different. She explained it this way in the song. She said, "It's warm and real and bright, and the world has somehow shifted, and all at once everything looks different now that I see you." It was a true love that turned the light on. It was her epiphany. You know, that's what Isaiah chapter 60 is all about. It's not about Tangled. It's about an epiphany, about a light going on, and a light that shines not just for scientists or princesses, but a light for you. And here's God's promise, that the epiphany of our Lord, it can light up your world. Isaiah explained it this way. Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." God promised to shine his light in the darkness, and Isaiah lived in dark days. All through Isaiah's prophecy, you find him scolding the Israelites for doing things wrong. They had all the instructions of how to do what God wanted, and yet they didn't. And what made that worse was that they thought they were doing just fine. They thought they were perfect. And so all through Isaiah's prophecy, he calls them hypocrites. He says, "You aren't being genuine about what you say you are." They were in big trouble. They couldn't please God, and so Isaiah pictures them helpless, lying face first, out cold. But then look what he says. In their dark, dark position, he says, "Rise and shine, because the glory of the Lord rises on you." The glory of the Lord, it's actually a technical term in the Old Testament. The glory of the Lord. It's the term for God's bright, blinding presence among his people. And so you see a couple examples of the glory of the Lord. The children of Israel, they were in Egypt as captives, and then they get out. They're set free, and so they run away from Egypt, but the army starts chasing after them. And so they find themselves caught between the sea on one side and the army on the other side, and the glory of the Lord shows up. The glory of the Lord, called the Kavod Adonai in Hebrew, it showed up as a pillar of fire. God's bright presence protected his people and warned his enemies. After that, God's people start worshiping. And first they're in a tent, and then after that they're in a temple, in a building. And God's brilliant presence, the Kavod Adonai, moves into their worship space. He's not as a pillar of fire, he's as a bright, glowing cloud. And when the children of Israel disobey God and they get kicked out of their temple and it gets destroyed, they see a vision of the Kavod Adonai, the glory of the Lord, leaving the temple. And so here are Isaiah's people, out cold. And what shows up? The Kavod Adonai, the glory of the Lord. Isn't that what happened to the wise men too? Sure, their darkness was a little different from the people of Isaiah's day. Their darkness wasn't that they didn't do what was right. They didn't even know what was right. But ignorance can be its own kind of darkness, can't it? They didn't know how to be saved. They didn't know what God loved. They didn't know about God's plan. They were from a Gentile country, far away from God's people. And so God sent them in their darkness a light. He sent Jesus to shine in their darkness. And what we learn in the Bible is that Jesus fulfills Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus is the glory of the Lord. Jesus is the Kavod Adonai. That's what John wrote in his gospel. He wrote, "The Word became flesh in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." But here's where this gets tricky. Do you think that surprised the wise men? They know they're looking for the King of the Jews, and you know that Jesus is the glory of the Lord. And so, do you think it surprised them when they knock on the Bethlehem door, and what's on the other side? Is it going to be a pillar of fire? Is it going to be a gleaming cloud? Is it going to be a superhuman ruler who's the best king in all the world? It's a toddler. And it's almost comical to think about how that meeting might have gone, if you're realistic about it, right? That as the wise men bow down and worship Jesus, did he sit still? Or did he run around like a little kid? When they presented him their gifts of gold and incense, did he say thank you? Did he even know how to say thank you? Or did he try to put them in his mouth? These men, royal dignitaries from a foreign land, they bow down to a person in a diaper. I don't know if the wise men were surprised by what they found in Jesus. The Bible doesn't really answer that question for us, but it didn't get much better as he got older, did it? Really? This is the glory of the Lord? A homeless preacher? Really? This is the glory that God has to shine in our darkness and help us with ignorance and unbelief? It's a guy who lives on the road with his friends? And then halfway through Jesus' life, he says something really important. He says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Here we go. What's he going to do? Is he going to do that thing where his clothes shine like lightning? Or is he going to turn into a brilliant cloud? He dies. Really? This is the glory of the Lord to enlighten us in our darkness? I didn't even know the Kavod Adonai could die, let alone like a criminal on a cross. Sometimes the way the Lord shines in our darkness isn't so bright to our eyes. And so I don't know if the wise men were surprised when they found a toddler as the King of the Jews. It doesn't say. It does tell us they worship, but it doesn't say the details. Are you ever surprised by how the Lord shines in your darkness? Sure, our darknesses are different. They're different from what the wise men had, and they're different from what the people in Isaiah's day had. Maybe your darkness is helplessness. That you want to be a great spouse. You really want to do good by your kids and to do them right. You really want, if you're a young person, to honor your father and mother. And you genuinely desire to leave the sin in your past, the sin that haunts your past, and if you're brave enough to admit it, it might haunt your future. You want to leave it alone, but you feel helpless to do that. Or maybe the black midnight of your soul is the despair. Does God love you? With all that you're experiencing right now, does God love you? How could he? With all that you've struggled with and all that you're suffering through, could God really love you? Our cloud cover might look different for each of us, but what Isaiah tells us is that darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the people. Are you ever surprised at how God shines in your darkness? Really? The glory of the Lord, the brilliant, shining glory of the Lord comes to you in a book? Shouldn't it be like some big emotional experience that just stirs up my insides? Shouldn't it be like some process of improvement that, like, if I just do all the right things, then I'll understand the glory of the Lord? Shouldn't it be some big life-changing event that turns my whole worldview around all in one day? Really? The dim glow of your Bible app as you read along? This is the bright glory of the Lord? Yeah. If those words you read tell you about the one who perfectly loved your family to make up for all your failings, then yeah, that is the glorious love shining in your darkness. A few drops of water on the head of a baby from that baptismal font, that's the glory of the Lord shining in our darkness? Yeah. If that water combined with God's word takes a child who was the property of the devil, headed for hell, and transfers ownership to God, so that now this is a child of the Most High headed for heaven, then yeah, that is the glory of the Lord shining in our lives. Half a bite of bread and a sip of wine, this is God's glory? Yes. If by that wine and bread God sweeps away all your doubts about his love for you, if that is Jesus saying, this bread is the very body I gave up, you don't think I love you? Look what I gave up for you. Look at this blood. This is what I poured out at great cost to me so that you could be free forever. Then yes, that is the glory of the Lord shining in our light, in our darkness. Could Jesus, the toddler, the homeless man, the crucified man, could he be the Kavod Adonai? The scriptures say so. And so the wise men believed it, and they bowed down and worshipped him. To the extent that you see in Jesus what the wise men saw, it will light up your world. And there's a fabulous result that happens when other people see what God does in your life. Isaiah says it this way: nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Isaiah said that when people see how God's love shines in your life, they want to know more. That's what happened with the wise men, right? God gave to his nation, Israel, a savior, and foreign kings from a different country came to worship him because they wanted to know more. That's why we say things to each other like, let your light shine. My mom used to say that to me when I was headed off to baseball practice or school. Don't forget to let your light shine. And I think I was confused about what it meant, because the Bible really says two things about letting your light shine, and I think I mixed them up sometimes. So what I thought my mom was saying, I thought she was saying, let your light shine, that means be on your best behavior so that other people think highly of you and your God. And if that's what she meant, she's totally right. That's totally biblical. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. But notice this. That's not what it means to let your light shine in Isaiah chapter 60. Because in Isaiah 60, the light that draws other people to us is not our good deeds. It is light that could only come from the Lord. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, it says. And so it dawned on me that for the first time ever this week, that all those years when my mom said, let your light shine, maybe she wasn't saying, be on your best behavior. Maybe she was saying, let your light shine Isaiah style. Be completely honest about the darkness in your life, the struggles that you have, and the sins that you struggle with. And be completely honest about how Jesus has an answer for even the deepest darkness of your life. So that when other people see what Jesus has done for you, they might find hope for them too. You know someone in a dark place right now. All of us do. Let your light shine. That God would love you, even you. May that encourage them that God could love them too. When we see what God does in the lives of other people through us, well, that'll light up your world too. Then you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy, Isaiah says. That is an epiphany because of God's light shining in our darkness. So Rapunzel said, at last I see the light. It was an epiphany. And the wise men came to baby Jesus, and it was an epiphany. But Isaiah says to you, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's an epiphany to light up your world. So, dear fellow redeemed, please rise. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Amen.